today we are going to be concluding with the series on Malachi. Malachi, a much needed message, I believe, for the time that Malachi was living in, or these times. They do say around the same time as Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra. But I believe it's a much needed message for the church today. Much needed message for the church today. As I said, it was one of the books that I would always steer away from, because there was quite a lot of things that I never really understood, or some hard subjects that I never wanted to preach. But you know, as God just laid it in my heart that to speak through Malachi, because I believe God was saying, this is a message for us now. There, very challenging message there. A call to live our lives in a way that pleases the Lord. Malachi was bringing a message to the people, bringing a call to live their lives, to change some of the things in their lives, and be pleasing to God. Thank you for that, Kenny. Oh. Any believers in here? Believers, those who have given their lives to Christ, you know, the challenge is we have been called to live our lives a different way from the way of the world. We can't remove ourselves from our world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are also called to love our world, to love the people, to share the gospel. The good news that Jesus changes lives. And Malachi, as he had some message to bring to the people, he was addressing different areas of people's lives. Doubt in the relationship to God and their love. They doubted that God loved them. Right there at the beginning, God says, I have loved you. And they would retort, how have you loved us? Prove it. Do you know, many of us, even now, Christians believe the lie that God doesn't love them. But let me tell you, God loves you. God loves you. Come on, turn to someone and say, God loves you. I know you hate this. This is interactive church. And whenever I see you sitting bored or glazed eyes, I will get you to move, shout, stand. They were shown contempt for God's name, bringing defiled sacrifices, the way they spoke about God. The priests who were called to bring the truth of God's word were people-pleasing. They were bringing words that they wanted to hear that weren't too challenging there. The priests there that were called to bring the word were also called to live the word, and they weren't doing that. And so God was addressing the priests, the leaders. And as I said, one of the great responsibilities, great privileges that I have is being a pastor, bringing the message of God. But it's a great responsibility. And I will, and leaders will be held accountable for the way that we lead, for the way that we bring the word of God. So it's not something to be taken lightly. Are you with me? Malachi was addressing a dishonor for God's word and God's name. And I gave you the challenge there as I talked about how many times that we have, yes, we have our Bible on our phones. There we can Google and find any information that we want on here. And a lot of times, and it's certainly in these days, most people are having their Bibles on their phones, but I wanted to encourage people about picking up a paper Bible. Young people, this is what we used to use there before this came along there, and I'm sure even this morning as you're picking up your phone or your iPad, you are looking at scripture and not on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, or listen to another church. But again, distractions there. And I wanted to encourage you to get into that. I'm old school. I just love coming before God, pen and paper, and just highlighting my Bible. what God speaks to me. And I want to still encourage you to keep doing that. Don't throw the Bible away. Get into God's word. So, a dishonor for God's word in God's name. I talked about divorce and how the men there were just for wanting, out of their lustful affections, wanted the foreign woman, and so just divorced their wife. Do you know, they could just wake up one morning and decide, I've had enough. Divorce. The food wasn't right. Divorce. You're not looking good today. Divorce. And going off with foreign women. And God was addressing that for what was happening. Marrying people who didn't even believe in God. And they were intermarrying. And God, again, was having something to say about that. God was wearied by their words. Who knows, God gets wearied. Do you know, people were saying, where is the God of justice? Do you know, all that do evil, they're good people. And so there was just a conversation that was going to go on in these days there. And God was wearied by their words. Where are you, God? Do you know, and sometimes in our life, as we look at our world, as we look at what's happening in our world, sometimes we can be saying, God, where are you? God, are you doing anything? Well, let me tell you, God is. God is always at work. And just because we don't see anything happening doesn't mean that God isn't doing anything there. People were withholding tithes and offerings. They were robbing God there. The words of arrogance towards God, they were saying, what's the point of serving God? What's the point of serving God? That's what they were saying, because they were seeing, as they were serving God, as they were trying to be obedient to God, that the world were just prospering as much as, well, probably even more sometimes than they were. And so they were thinking, God, what's the point? What is the point? And you know, we all go through, I believe, times like that. Or is it just me? Do you ever think, come on, speak the truth, shame the devil. Do you ever go through times where you say, God, what is the point of coming to church and worshiping you, of living, when you look at the world and you see the way they seem to be enjoying themselves, you're thinking, God, I'm missing out. Remember my story as I went for my carry-out curry there down to the city centre, and I stood there, and God really challenged me, because I had a complaint to God. I saw people, and they were going, I mean, I don't normally go into the town at night, but I went down that night, and it was packed. People were flooding restaurants and clubs and pubs, and they were having fun and laughter, and I'm standing there in my curry thinking, God, I'm missing out. Every weekend, God, I'm serving you. And even as you say that, you're thinking, but how, serving God is one of the greatest things. But you feel, God, I'm missing out. I'm missing out here. And you know, the truth of the matter was, I felt that God owed me, because of all the years of serving him, that I need to be more blessed than what I was, that I needed some. And really, God showed me that I had bitterness in my heart because of serving him. But I want to tell you, serving God is one of the greatest things. And so I am not bitter. I love what I am doing. And God just showed me a way of rearranging my schedule, that I would then get a weekend there. And I am enjoying it. I've not been venturing into the town for a while. I'll test that sometime. But the wicked seem to prosper more than we do. And God then says, I am going to be sending my messenger who will come and prepare the way for the Lord. He will come and prepare the way for the Lord. And the Lord whom you are seeking will suddenly come. And we saw John the Baptist come, the spirit of Elijah. He wasn't the Elijah, as was people were thought. But he came in that spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord to come, Jesus. And Jesus came. And so today, as we have journeyed through Malachi, It seems that everyone that Malachi is talking about, that the whole nation has just went off the rails towards God. But that is not the truth, because there was a remnant who loved God, who feared God. What were the three things that I asked us to remember as we journeyed through Malachi? Anyone remember? God loves us. Someone's listening. God will never stop loving us. What was the other one? To listen with open hearts to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Again, a lot of times we just hear things, great sermon, Stephen, and we go back into our day. But let us be listening and asking, God, what is the one thing that you want me to hear today for my life? Because I will guarantee you will not remember half the things I say today unless you go into the podcast and listen to it again. But I want you, as you are hearing God's word, I want you to be thinking, and that's why I encourage you to be writing down, be praying and asking God, God, what is one thing that I need to take away with me today for my life? And today was the third thing. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. How do we do that? Well, that word's not for me. In fact, that's for you. That's for my partner, my spouse. That's for my friend. I don't believe that. But God speaks into our life, and we can harden our heart towards God. We can close him off. And so today, we're going to be looking at Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, right through to chapter 4. And there's only six verses in chapter 4. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On that day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will see again the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. The Lord of heaven's armies says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go leaping with joy, like calves let out to pasture. On that day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, all the decrees and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai for all Israel. And look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Today, I believe there is a call for the church, for us as believers, to fear the Lord, to fear his name. There was a remnant here, but as for you, then those who feared the Lord. So there was a people who feared the Lord. It wasn't all bad. As Elijah, as he overcame the false prophets on Mount Carmel got to a place where he says, God, I'm the only one left. He was in a place where he just felt that he was the only one serving God. But God says, no, there is others there. And sometimes in our life, we can be in a place where we think, God, is anyone else? God, are we the only ones? But let me tell you, there is. All over this world, God is moving. God is saving. God is healing. God is restoring. And so we don't get a lot of times on the news all the good news. It's all bad news. It's all bad. Most of it. But there was a remnant who feared the Lord. Webster's dictionary says about the fear of God in good men, the fear of God is a holy awe, a reverence for God and his laws. A.W. Tozer, he says, the fear of God is to love what God loves and hate what God hates. A healthy fear of God. Is it possible? I believe it is. I have a healthy fear of electricity. If I went and put a screwdriver in that socket, I will meet my Lord and Savior in the air. I have a healthy fear of electricity. Electricity can kill you, but we use it. We get light and we're using electricity today. I remember the time I was terrified of electricity. But I would try things in the home. I would try things. Do you know, Annette would say, we need to get an electrician out to fix that light. Why need an electrician? I can do it. I mean, I'm a pastor. Come on, I can do anything. And you know, as I just took the wires off, and then as you see the wires there, the screwdriver's in, and then you remember, oh, check the fuse box. Make sure the trip wires, the trip switch is off. And it was, thank goodness. But I was a healthy fear, and so I would have, and then I noticed I was standing on metal ladders. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not good, so I'm back down. And I'm looking for my shoes with the rubber soles. Nothing can harm me now. And then, next thing, I am up there, I'm thinking, can electricity go through your hands without being earthed? I've got rubber. So back down again, got the marigolds out because they're rubber. And I'm standing on this metal ladder with my marigolds because they don't conduct electricity. Well, I don't think they do. And changing lights. But I had a healthy fear of electricity. I put things on. I changed my dress code to work with the electricity. And again, for us as believers, I believe we need that healthy fear of God. That when we come before God, that we...
Well, it's funny, I was just talking to my landlord at the beginning of the service, and I says, I think some people come in and they look for the ones, the batteries that are nearly done, and put them in my mic. So as it finishes early. A healthy fear. When we come into God's presence, how do we come into God's presence? And I believe that as we come, we have to look at our lives, how we are living our lives, and the way that, well, God helps us to live our lives for him, because he gives us the Holy Spirit. The missing ingredient in Malachi's time in these people, I believe, was the fear of the Lord. The fear of God was missing in the way they lived their lives daily. The fear of God was missing in their worship. The fear of God was missing in the message of the priests and the lives of the priests. If King Charles walked into this building today, I believe we would change things, or would we? Would we? We wouldn't talk when he was talking. We wouldn't just answer our phones or be on our phones. So we would change our posture. We would change things we do when the King would be here. But let me tell you, we come into the presence of King Jesus every single week. In fact, we come into the presence of King Jesus every single day. And how is it that we are living our lives? The fear of the Lord. I believe it's one of the things the church needs back is the fear of God. Do you agree? Or am I waffling? R.T. Kendall says the greatest need of the church today is a return of the fear of the Lord. The greatest absence of the church today is the fear of the Lord. He went on to say, there is no fear of God in our nation. There is no fear of God in the church. The world thumbs their noses up at the church or anything or at anything that is sacred. And so we need the fear of God. And here, as Malachi is addressing people who feared the Lord, those who feared the Lord spoke with each other and the Lord listened. And the Lord listened. Who would have thought that God is listening in on our conversations? Are you beginning to think of some conversations that you've had? That the Lord is listening in on conversations. God was paying attention to what people were saying, to how people were living. God was even, it says, keeping a record of what people were saying. How people were living, keeping a record. Moses, he recognized that. He says, but now please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book that you have written. Okay, God, if you're going to blot the people out, don't blot the people out, blot me out. Save the people there. Revelation chapter 20, we see another book. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Do you know, that is a sobering thing, I believe, for us as believers. That God is watching our lives. That God is looking at our lives. Jehoshaphat, he saw that as well. Way back in Chronicles, it says, the eyes of the Lord roam the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. Will God find that person here? I believe He will, and He has. A day will come when God will settle things. But there is good news. You're a believer, and God calls you something. There in Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, and on that day I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts, they shall be my treasured possession. You are God's treasured possession if you're a believer here today. You are His treasured possession. I will be tender towards them as a man is tender towards a son who ministers to him. And you shall come to see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between him who has served God and him who has not served God. You are God's treasured possession. Come on, nudge the person awake beside you and say, you're God's treasure possession. Come on. Yeah, tell them they need to believe it. Come on, dunt them. I'm just making sure you're awakened. You're God's treasured possession. And the truth is, there will be a day when all things will be reckoned. I mean, God will come with justice, that there'll be justice in His judgments that He brings. But for us who are believers, that is nothing to be worrying about. Do you know, Jesus has saved us. But we are called to live our lives. We will be given an account of how we live our lives. And that is a truth. Let me tell you, there is no perfect person here. There's no perfect pastor. Have I messed up? Lots of times. But thank God that we can come to him and say, Father, would you forgive me? Forgive me. Forgive me. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. He cleanses us. That refining fire. God, I believe, is looking for people whose hearts are fully devoted to him. Do you know, it's great. And I believe one of the dangers that we can get with the love of God, that God loves me always, and that is true. God's love is unconditional. If we've messed up, God loves you. When we do mess up, God loves us. But I want to say that not all the time is God pleased with our lives. Do you know, Malachi chapter 1, I have loved you, says the Lord. 10 verses later, I am not pleased with you, says the Lord. And so, yes, thank God for his love. But let us live lives that please him. Do you know, my kids, an example. I love my kids unconditionally. Do you know, have they messed up? They sure have messed up. Do they make wrong decisions? They do make wrong decisions. Do I love them? Of course I do. Growing up, when I walked into that room and saw a bomb site, saw cranes on the walls as they writ their name on the walls with their cranes. Did I love them? Of course I did. Was I pleased with them? I wasn't. When they were fighting and screaming, did I love them? Of course I did. Was I pleased with them? No, I wasn't. When we had the church up in our house, the holy people, God's people, and they were coming and walking down the hallway and banging on the door and fights happening and Annette leaving the room saying, excuse me, folks, and getting in and trying to shout with all her might quietly, will you shut up the people in there? And she is screaming quietly to those kids and they would just laugh. And yeah, that's them told back in. Let's get back into God's word. More racket. Were we pleased with them? No. And they knew that we weren't pleased with them. But we loved them. And you know, for our lives, God loves us. But there are times in our life when we do things that God doesn't please God. Jesus himself says, I always do what pleases the Father. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:10 says, so we make it our goal to please him. To please him. To please him. Is your life bringing pleasure to God? Just think on that for a minute. Is your life bringing pleasure to God? And please don't jump into the default and say, oh, I'm not pleasing to God. Because I do believe we can live lives that are pleasing to God. Is your life pleasing to God? As Malachi goes into chapter 4, there again, he goes back into that day of the Lord. There is a day. There is a day. And I believe for our lives, you know, we have a trajectory of our lives. You know, the decisions that you make today will determine where you are going to be tomorrow and the weeks to come. And thank God that we can change the trajectory of our lives with his help. I was on a way down a slippy slope as I grew up as a teenager and as I set out, was involved in witchcraft and stuff and reading all the stuff that I shouldn't have been reading. And so in my life, was headed towards probably not a good place. But God met me, and he saved me, and he changed the directory of my life. I had to make the decisions. I had to align my life according to his word. Did I get it right all the time? Never. God still loved me? He does. And the times that he wasn't pleased with me and I knew it, I had to come before him and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. I want to live my life honoring his name and honoring his words. And I believe it's an attitude that we have to build into our lives if we are going to live lives that please God. Whew, that was hard hitting, isn't it? Try to save every drop of that water. The coming day of the Lord, where justice will come through his judgments. Punishment of God on evildoers. You know, we do live in times that are dark. But every man and woman will stand before God and give an account of their lives. There will come a separation, as Malachi is talking. And we will see the distinction between those that fear God and those that don't fear God. Today, I believe our world is in a mishmash where a lot of times you can't tell a believer from an unbeliever. And God is calling his church to live the way. He's calling his church out of living the way of the world and living according to his word. I believe that is an attraction to our world. I believe it's not a time to blend in, but it's a time to stand out. The true believers, those who fear God's name, they will see the dawning of a new day. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. The sun of righteousness, translated sun of vindication. The day of the Lord, the time when God will vindicate his people and he will judge sin. And like all bright light of sunrise, the vindication will be clear to all. You know, it's like a foggy day. When you go out and the mist is there and you can hardly see, but then the sun comes and it just begins to disperse with all the fog. And things in these days will become clear. And God is sending the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. God in chapter 3, I will send my messenger ahead. In chapter 4, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day. And you know, the spirit of Elijah is mentioned, but Malachi points towards, even in Revelation, it talks about two prophets who will come. Two prophets who will come. One prophet, and they will speak for, is it 1,250 days before the people there, Revelation chapter 11. And it says, one of the prophets will have power to stop the rain. One prophet will have power to stop the rain. The other prophet, these two prophets, one stopping the rain, the other has the power to change water to blood. Can anyone think of someone that stopped the rain? Elijah. Who was a man that stopped or who changed the water into blood? Moses. Who were the two men that was with Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. There's a pattern here. And again, read Revelation. I don't understand a lot of Revelation, but it does get my attention. And I just, you should read it. These two men preaching for 1,250 days, and then they were killed. And they were left on the street for everyone to see. And 3 days, it says, they get up. The spirit came back to their lives, and they get up. Goodness me, imagine that scene. But I'm not preaching from Revelation today. Read it for yourself. The world is sinking, I believe. And the world is throwing out Jesus, the one that keeps our lives afloat, the one that is needed if we are going to see this nation changed, is Jesus. The devil's strategy is to have an impure church and a powerless church. But God is calling a holy church. Be holy as I am holy. And God is calling a powerful church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. So as I finish, turn to someone and say, he's finishing. Come on. As I finish, we have a world that needs to know the love of Jesus. We have a world that needs to see men and women who will live for God. William Booth of the Salvation Army says, I consider the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell, is what William Booth said. And we, I believe, are living in days when we need the church. I need to step up. We need to, the church, I believe, needs to step up and seeing, start with praying for your community, praying for people, that people would encounter the love of God. And even, you know, I will send my messenger ahead of you, is what Malachi was saying. I believe, and I want to think, I'm just suggesting this, that we can be those modern day Elijahs and John the Baptist who will prepare the way for God to come. And I believe this is a message over this church. And I believe it's a message over the church to prepare the way. Because I believe there's a great outpouring of God coming. And I'm believing it's in Dundee. That it's going to come to Dundee. Isaiah chapter 62 verse 10 says, go out through the gates, prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road, pull out the boulders, raise a flag for all the nations to see. I want people to see that God is moving in Dundee. That God is moving in this nation of Scotland. That God is moving all across this world. And he is. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. We have heard. In those days, the word Jew, they never had the word Christian. And you know, I believe this is a prophetic word, that as men and women see something on you, something on your life, something different about your life, and it is the presence of God, that they will take hold of you and say, I want what you've got. Take me to where, if you get Jesus. You can tell a Christian. I believe you can tell a Christian. Can you? When you see someone, you just know God is all over them. And the days are coming when I believe men and women will be seeking God. And they'll be coming to you. They'll be knocking on your door. Because I believe a move of the Holy Spirit is coming. Smith Wigglesworth, 1947, says, during the next few decades, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church in Great Britain. The first will affect every church that is open to receive it and will be characterized by a restoration of the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The second move of the Holy Spirit will result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. In the duration of each of these moves, the people will be involved, who are involved, will say, this is a great revival. But the Lord says, no, Neither is this the great revival, but both are steps towards it. When the new church phase is on the wane, there will be evidence in the churches that something has not been seen before, a coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. And it will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed within these shores. Even the Wesleyan and the Welsh revivals of former years. The outpouring of God's Spirit will flow over from the UK to the mainland of Europe, and from there will begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. God is on the move, and he is preparing his church. And Malachi is a message, I believe, that is a call to prepare the way for the Lord to come. And we have to answer, are we in or are we out? Come on, let's stand. I've said enough. A very challenging message. A very needed message. Ryan, Nicole, could you come back? So what is it that God is saying to you? What is it that you need to take away with you today? Can you just play quietly on the keyboard, Nicole? I just want us just to stand for a few minutes. And just for you to think, God, what is it that I need to take away today? Please do not take guilt or condemnation. Don't be racking your brain thinking about your life and trying to find the times when you have not been pleasing to God. But just allow the Holy Spirit just to come. And just to bring the love of God over your life. You are loved. You are his treasured possession. I love all the messages that God loves us. We are his sons and daughters. That he is pleased with us. That we are not slaves. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And it brings sometimes that challenging, difficult message to our lives, because I do believe we need it. We need to be faced with our lives and how we are living our lives. Pleasing to God. You know, Jesus died for you. Jesus saved you. He redeemed you. He loves you. He's lifted you out of that miry pit, that muddy pit, and set your feet on a rock. And he loves you. And I believe in response of our love to God that we can love him back. Thank you, Father. just going to just wait another minute. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Father, I ask today that you would come and just wash over our lives with your Holy Spirit. Jesus. 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 Don't worry, we'll be finished in a minute. I just keep hearing, just in the Spirit, just those words. I actually think it's probably the first line of a song. I can see clearly now. Please don't finish it. I can see clearly now. And I believe that God wants to open the eyes of our heart, that we would see him. Paul prayed that in Ephesians. You know, I believe we need to be able to see the way that God sees us. We don't see ourselves as God sees us. It's a whole area of our identity. You don't see yourself as a child of God. Sometimes we don't see the bigger picture. We only see the here and now. Sometimes we don't see the eternal purposes of things in our lives. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to see clearly. Revelation chapter 3 talks about an eye salve. An eye salve. And I just sense that the Holy Spirit wants to come and open eyes, not physically, but spiritually, that you would see yourself as God sees you. That you would see that there is a bigger picture. That there is eternal purposes, not just the immediate. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And Father, today, as we get ready to close our service, Lord, I am asking that you would open every eye to see you. To see their life. Thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That you love us. That, Lord, as I said before, you love us too much to leave us as we are. And Lord, I am asking for your church, that it would indeed rise up and be the witnesses that you are calling us to be in these days and in these times. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.